I agree.
Okay. So thank you for joining us anyway for this evening. So we're going to be talking about the transition from the toddler community through to what we call the children's house, which is our 3 to 6 class. So our toddler community is our 2 to 3.5 year old class, and then our children's house is our 3 to 6 class. Are you happy for me to continue in English? Is that better for you, or would you prefer me to speak in French?
English is fine.
Okay, so I'm going to carry on this in English, and then what I will do is I will try and share a screen, and then if you have any questions, you can type them into the chat box, so that and let me know if you've typed some questions, or you can stop me and say, Camilla, I have a question, whichever one works for you. So I'm going to just see if I can share my screen with you.
Right, we can.
Let's
Let
see.
the move.
Okay. Let me just see if I can share the screen. Okay. All right. So there's a screen that we're sharing. Can everyone see the screen?
Yes.
That
Yes.
sharing okay? Yeah. Okay, great. So I just wanted to sort of give a little bit of a background, because if you are interested in carrying on with the Montessori philosophy, for moving through into the nursery stages after the initial toddler community, it's really important you have a really good understanding of the education that is offered through our school at Être Découvrir, so that you can really understand what's going on. Because otherwise, you might have a lot of questions, because it is very much a philosophy that's very different from a traditional French education system. So I wanted to just to sort of go through some of the key points around the Montessori philosophy, so that really, that you've got a really good understanding of how that sort of moves forward. So, I mean, just firstly to say that the toddler community sets the groundwork for the work we do in 3 to 6, and it also completely adheres to the philosophy we have throughout the school, which is really about understanding the child and the child's needs, as well as the rhythm the child is learning at. So every child that comes into our school is going to come to us with a different set of experiences and knowledge based on you as parents, the family you have around you, and the experiences your child has had. And we don't expect any child to be the same as the next child. So this is really core to the Montessori philosophy, is that we really look to create an individualized learning experience for each child based on the personality of the child, and yes, their own speed of learning, and where they're at and what they're ready for. And so each child, really, the idea is that we are working towards, at every stage of their learning in our school, towards autonomy, greater autonomy, self-confidence, and for the child to be able to do things for themselves. So this idea of independence in the at home is and at school, the idea is everything we're learning at school, we can also have do at home, and it keeps feeding back into each other. So certainly, if you're interested in continuing with us for next year, and we hope you are, as we're moving your child generally through to the next stage, eventually, that they are going to also be, we're encouraging you to also follow this autonomy that your child is building at home. So if they want to put on their own shoes themselves, they can do that. If they want to put on their own coat, all those things that they're starting to learn to do, the more opportunity they have to do things for themselves, the better. And of course, initially, you may be able to help them a little bit. Maybe you put on one shoe and they do the other. That's really, those are the sorts of things that we'd be encouraging. Also, in terms of the shoes, of course, even the shoes that you buy are part of that learning process. So, of course, if you buy lace-up shoes to your child, they're not going to be able to lace them up. So the learning they have and the learning they're doing needs to be adapted to their age and their skill level. So, of course, we're encouraging parents of young children to make sure you have shoes that are easy to put on and off, generally Velcro shoes are the easiest. So those are sort of things that we encourage you to buy so that your child really is able to do, you know, put on their shoes and take them off and put on their slippers on their own as well. And the key to really the learning is really this idea of that I'm in charge of my own learning. So, you know, we talk about the love of learning. And definitely, I think at Être de Gourir, we really want to really encourage children to have a love of learning for life. And that starts really young. That starts in the toddler community. And our experiences at school really will decide how we feel about school later on. And if we've had a great early years experience, then that really will make us want to go to school and learn and enjoy what we do, the time we have at school. And at the same time, we're also encouraging the child to really build up a basis of knowledge that they are going to be able to, and curiosity for the world around them. So that's really a natural tendency for young children. So they want to learn about the outdoors, and they're having these fantastic opportunities with Stutti in the toddler community to go out to explore the gardens, to look at the insects, explore the flowers and nature outside. And those experiences are wonderful because the natural environment really gives us lots of learning opportunities. So that continues later on as well through the different stages. In terms of the role of the teacher, it's very different to a traditional classroom. In a nursery classroom, a teacher will still be at the front of the classroom teaching to a group or teaching to a lesson. Generally, everybody, as they move through the stages, certainly in a 3 to 6 class nursery classroom, if it's, you know, it's petite section, moyenne section, grande section, generally the teaching tends to focus on a sort of a stage where all the class is at, and then children will move through that stage at similar speeds. But it won't necessarily take into account every child's individual learning need or where they're at. So some children may, you know, if the lesson of the day is the letter A, for example, in a traditional school, some children may already know the letter A, some may not be interested in learning it right then and there, and others have literally just, yes, they've already learned it and they moved on to something much more difficult, for example. In the Montessori classroom, for example, in 3 to 6, we are really following where each child is at. So some children will be interested in learning their phonics earlier than others, and that's okay. It doesn't matter when a child develops their acquisition or learning. It's really going to be based on their own needs and interests. And certainly, you know, we observe the child, and that's how we actually develop the individualized curriculum. Seeing where they're ready and what they're ready for is really a core part of our role as a Montessori teacher. So all of the activities that the child will do throughout the different levels will still be based on this idea of respecting the child's rhythm for learning, speed of learning, and errors are part of our learning. So we have a very different approach, I'd say, to the learning through error. It's we don't use the word error, but it is effectively learning can't take place without error. So we love this idea of practice and repetition in the Montessori classroom. So it sort of initially seems a bit surprising that we have this material that we're using a lot. But what all the psychology studies show is that when a child has used a material a lot and gets to know it very well, they actually develop what we call mastery. And that mastery in turn leads to self-esteem and builds confidence in the child. So when a child gets to do something and knows really well how to do something, you know, zipping up their coat and, or, you know, doing up their shoes, you know, they get so good at it, that develops this sense of I can do it for myself. And that is a really amazingly powerful tool in building confidence for the child. In the Montessori classroom, again, at all levels, there are no grades given. So again, as a child goes through the our different levels of learning, there will be an opportunity for the teacher to speak with you as parents twice a year, face to face. And then also you will have, if you stay for the full year in each classroom, you'll have two reports given to you. So in the children's house, again, same thing, there'll be a special report it's a bit of a longer form report, of course, going to much more detail, whereas the toddler community will be much more short form report. And in terms of the actual discipline and how we support the children in the classroom with their emotional intelligence and development of their emotional brain, is we work on really much more tools that are related to positive discipline, which is and that doesn't use punishment, and it doesn't use reward per se. You do this, I'll give you this, or you don't do this, or else I'll do this. This is not part of the way we work in the classroom. It's very much more on letting the child understand the need for respect of others, for themselves. But it's through a gentle learning process, and we have tools in the classrooms that help us with learning about emotional intelligence. We have, for example, one of our classrooms, we have a little peace corner. We're learning how self-calming tools, soothing tools in the classroom that we can use. We have an emotions chart, for example. So are things that we have in place in 3 to 6 and already in 2 to 3. I know that you've studied, you have some smiley faces and some sad faces on the wall. So already children are learning about some level of emotional intelligence as well, right from the early stages. Did you want to add anything about that, Stuti?
Well, I can add that we, right from the term one, we start talking, and all over the year, we talk about how each incident creates an emotion and how to navigate those emotions. If they are angry, if they're sad, that is why there's a slate on the wall. So I show them the expression, look, are you feeling like that? And what do we do when, like we have in the children's house, we have a breathing ball. And they learn to use that breathing ball, how to calm themselves down, how to negotiate between a conflict or a discord, how to politely refuse or respect boundaries. So all these things are conceptually, there in the toddler class as well. And it is repeated on a daily basis. So each incident is a learning experience for the child. I'm feeling angry right now, or I'm feeling sad. If somebody else is feeling sad, once the child progresses and understands their emotion, then they progress to help others manage their emotions. If somebody's sad, I always ask them to bring a tissue and try to help them, put their hand on the shoulder like we do in the children's house, that it's going to be okay in whichever language the child feels comfortable. And we all try to build a little family environment within the class so that the child is understanding that, emotions are part of us, and we can learn to manage emotions individually as well through breathing, or together as well by helping each other out in the time of distress.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for that. And any questions related to what we've said so far? I'll keep going.
Oh, it's all clear.
Okay, I'll keep going. So as I mentioned, yes, so we, just to sort of go through, we've got 3 different age groups in the school. So our 2 to 3.5 class, which are toddler community, that between 6 to 10 children. Currently there are 6 in the class, so it's a small class this year, which is lovely. Then we have 2 3 to 6 classrooms, which we call our children's houses. We have the cottage classroom and the orangery classroom. And there are around 18 to 21 children in each of those classes. So we sort of revolve around 20 children. In terms of the 3 to 6 classroom, I don't necessarily know which classroom your child will be in. It will depend on the actual group itself. I try and match the children moving up from toddler community into the children's house with the right sort of community that's going to fit your child. So I sort of look at the personalities in the classrooms and the number of girls, number of boys, and I try and sort of fit the personality with the child moving from toddlers into the children's house with the right classroom environment. So a lot of parents say to me, oh, I want to be in this class, or I want to be in that class, but just sort of trust me that we work together. I work together with the teachers to try and make sure we really choose the right ambiance, the right environment for your child. So that was, I just want to add that one. And then we also have 2 classes for our 6 to 12 class, a 6 to 9 group and a 9 to 12 group. And there are 12 to 14 children in each group. And they switch between half days in English and half days in French. So they really are in a total immersion, half day in English, half a day in French, as they also get into that older age group, which prepares them later on to get into some into the bilingual sections often of schools or keep their English going and certainly, you know, develop their fluency in both English and French. The difference between toddlers and 3 to 6 is that we can start to develop, we start to have a longer day that we can offer as your child moves into the 3 to 6 class. The reason that we can't offer that at the moment in toddlers is that we've really worked out that really from a space perspective, it really works well when the toddlers go home, they have the chance to go and eat lunch at home and have a quiet time in the comfort of their own house. So from a you know, transition perspective, that really is a lovely transition for them. So it's not a big day straight away when they arrive at school, because we are at school. We're not in a creche. We're not in a place where children will have a toy and they just bang it together and just throw things around the room. And just, you know, it's not a free flowing in that sort of sense environment, learning environment. It really is a school environment, even from the age of 2. So that really means the children are having to concentrate quite hard, Stitchy. I think you'll probably agree with me, you know, having to carry a tray, put it down on the table carefully, clean up the things after themselves, put things away again, concentrate, think about what they want to do next, work on a different project. There'll be a circle time. There are lots of things that are put into that the toddler morning, which means it's quite a long morning already. That 8:45 to 11:45 slot in the morning works really well for the toddlers, we feel. And then as they get older, then the 3 to 6 children slowly transition from just a morning through to including a chance for them to eat lunch and include a playtime. Already staying for playtime is quite a big thing, being with lots of older children because classrooms are mixed age groups, being, you know, playing in a playground. So that something, again, we advise parents in moving from toddlers into the children's house to do gently so that your child gets used to a longer day gradually. And then eventually children can stay the afternoon. And the afternoon, there is a space, which is our quiet room. And we have a quiet kitchen area as well. So for children who are in their first year of the children's house, they can stay eventually in the afternoon when they're ready for that to either have a sort of a quiet time in the room where they may fall asleep, they may have a short nap, or they can do some quiet activities with Adriana in the kitchen, in the orangery in the afternoon. And then they rejoin their class right at the end of the afternoon to go home, ready to go home at 3:45. Some children stay on for a longer after school club until either 5 p.m. or 5:40 p.m. But generally, it's if you are able to pick your child up at the end of that afternoon session from the children's house, it's great because they can get tired quite quickly. And you will find that your child's fatigue can accumulate quite quickly, especially in their first year of children's house. Suti, did you want to add anything for that?
I would just like to add that yes, concentration is a big part of our Montessori philosophy, and being able to be self-motivated and being driven to do one task after the other, it requires a lot of motivation, determination, resilience, and especially with the younger age group, it is possible. But I would say that younger children are more sensory learners, and sometimes if there is a sensory overload, the fatigue sets in pretty quickly. The noise levels, the environment, everything impacts them at a younger age. So I would definitely recommend that, when they start in the first few weeks and few months, we should try to make them feel as comfortable as possible. And surely when they cross that point, it is, if they feel comfortable spending the whole day, then of course they will one day spend the whole day. Mm-hmm. But yes, definitely, I would say that, the concentration level and self-motivation is a definitely driving factor for you to decide if you think your child is comfortable spending the whole day in the school. And definitely for the toddlers, I would recommend a shorter day. Yes.
Yes. So just point, just maybe have a chat about readiness as well. Is that, you know, in terms of readiness for the 3 to 6 class, we really, really work with the other.
Could I actually ask a question about?
Oh, yes, of course. Sorry, Daphne, I didn't hear you.
Sorry, it's just
How long in general does it take for the children to get ready to stay until, for example, 3:45? Like there's an adaptation period that I understand, and it's better for them to adjust gradually. And of course, we don't want one very tired and angry toddler, but like in general, what's the time frame?
It's
About.
really child dependent, actually. Really is child dependent because, if a child is having a very hard time getting to the, to a long day, it's not going to help the child to force them to stay.
Of course.
So it really is dependent on the child's ability to adapt already, social skills. Their ability to feel comfortable in the older class environment as well. So Stuti, we work with Stuti, all the teachers work with Stuti. So the Stuti sort of gives us the nod, I suppose, to say yes, this child's ready to make that transition into the 3 to 6 class, into the children's house.
No, but I mean,
And then
once they're
once they're in the
actually in
children's house, it can be the space of a week. It
there.
can be a week. Some children need longer. It just does depend, but
No, it's just to know, kind of prepare, because we to know how we're going to prepare next year and what time frame do I need to keep in mind for him to be able to stay until 3:45 or something like that. Do I need to prepare for a week or do I need to prepare for a month or is it can it even go longer than that or
It
well
can go, it
what's
can be much longer. Yes, we don't know. And this is, I suppose, a bit of a specificity of our school is that it can be longer. We won't know at this stage, really.
Really, okay. It just
No,
depends
this is
on
the
the
challenge.
child and how. Okay.
The sort of the and it's really important that in terms of the Montessori and transition, that school readiness and readiness for to move into the next
Okay.
is taken into account. In order for your child to be able to make the most of that classroom,
No, of course, of course.
I think that's probably that's the only sort of challenge. I think that perhaps some schools will be like, yes, we'll just take them and we'll just give them a long day and they'll survive.
No, of course, that's not what you want for your
Yeah,
child.
we don't tend to go that way because we really want your child to not just survive but to thrive. So very different. We do take it, we really are quite careful, which I know it makes it quite a bit harder for parents in the planning stages. It's only a short period of your child's life. So
That's
just being
true.
aware that that short period of your child's life could be all the difference, but the time that you give them, you literally giving them that just extra space and time to be ready for the next stage and the next the evolution development of their learning. So seems like forever when you're in it. It's next week, next Monday, or next Friday. When can we, when we, but when you look at their life, you suddenly think, oh, okay, there's no train to catch. If we can buy that time, especially I think on this transition from toddler into children's house, it can be all make all the difference to your child's learning experience. So that would just be something I just want to put through in there, but Stuti will give a better idea as these months progress where your child is at in terms of that transition and maybe able to give you some feedback on that individual level in a couple of months' time. So that's probably the best.
No problem. No problem. Yeah, it's just to know a little bit how to prepare because, I mean, it makes a difference if he comes home at 11:45 or 3:45 in the matter of, if you can go for a job or not or
Of course,
so
I do
it's
understand. I do understand.
That's the difference for us in any case.
I do
So
understand.
it was just to know kind of how to what to see. So yeah, it all depends, and there's not really a way to.
Well, Stuti should be able to give you a bit better sort of insight into your individual child, and I think you're going to get a school report very soon. Early February, in sort of just at the start of the February holidays, so you'll start to get some indicators there, and then Stuti will have another meeting with you in May, face meeting. So you'll have a really good idea then.
Okay, great.
So that, that will give you a really good indication of where your child is at.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. Just sort of moving on in terms of the actual space, the learning space. Montessori is often criticized this idea that, okay, your child has freedom. And some parents sort of worry about Montessori, that means freedom to do anything, which actually is not true. So we talk about, you know, la liberté a lot and in our training, our Montessori teacher trainings. And actually, freedom is really interesting concept that Maria Montessori developed. She saw that children, when they are given this freedom to develop, it really has an amazing effect. Children really do explore their environment in a very, they really love to explore their environment. And this becomes part of their learning. And the Montessori materials are laid out for them. They're available to them. Once they've had a presentation of the materials, they can use them as much as possible. So this freedom to choose, freedom to use the materials as long as they like, freedom to be able to move around the space is really critical in the philosophy. But at the same time, that freedom also does come with parameters, just like everything. And so I think this is really important to note when we talk about the Montessori philosophy, that freedom comes with responsibility. Just as we as adults have a responsibility to drive safely on the road, when we see a red light, we have to stop. The young child who's learning to navigate the space around them, there are also responsibilities that come with that. You know, we can't just walk into other people and push them over or hurt them in any way, or we can't drop, can't break material purposefully. We're learning about these things. So I think it's important to sort of note that, this idea of freedom with responsibility is also really something that is helpful to put into place at home as well. So, when a child has no rules, they actually looking for some level of a parameter, some perimeter to what is okay for them to do and what's not okay. And a child that will could keep looking for that perimeter will keep pushing all the buttons possible and keep extending their behaviors to things that until they get some sort of stop, or we can't, that could hurt you or that could hurt someone else. So it is important that Montessori freedom is not about I can do what I want when I want. It really is. It comes with that responsibility to look after ourselves and others, and really boils down to one thing, which is respect. So respect myself, respect for others around me, and the respect to the materials and the classroom that I work in. So that's really important, I think, just to sort of for me to note. And that carries on through into 3 to 6. Did you want to add something about that, Stuti?
There is certainly freedom, but it's only freedom to choose, grow in their own way, grow in authenticity and originality. Besides that, there is a lot of responsibility. It is the responsibility of child to progress in a way he would like. It is a responsibility of the child to respect him in his own space and the space of others. It is the responsibility of the child to tidy up. You will see there's a lot of emphasis on, developing these kind of skills where the child feels responsible that I belong to this place and it is my community. So the learning model is more of self-growth through attaining that responsibility of, physically being responsible, emotionally being responsible, socially being responsible. So the concept of freedom is fluid in the choices you make, but not of the consequences of the choice you make. So definitely, if the child is not using the material in a proper sense and it breaks, and there is a consequence that the material is broken and he would end up tidying up the material. So that is the consequence he would have to deal with. So he cannot walk away from that responsibility of not looking after the material. But of course, does he want to work with that material or another material? Is this the choice that the child does have in the class? So I would say freedom, the concept of freedom is the ability to choose the kind of work I want, how long I want to work with that, how often I would want to repeat that. The freedom applies in those contexts.
Okay. Yes. So definitely, yes. So this idea that that children eventually develop what we call autodiscipline in French, this sort of self-discipline, which is amazing. And it's a skill that actually carries on through all the child's scolarity. And in fact, once we have that self-discipline, we don't need external rewards and punishments. And so once we know why we're doing something and that we're taking care of the others and taking care of ourselves and taking care of the classroom environment, that is a very, that's, this is, these are lifelong skills. So this is really why Montessori has autodiscipline as this self-discipline as a really heart, at the heart of the pedagogy is this idea that we don't need to punish a child or to reward a child to make them do things. It really eventually we accompany them. If something gets broken, we don't worry about that. It's something that can happen to adults and children alike. We learn how to clean up, and we can clean up we clean it up and put it away, and we move on. But we will always clean up, and sometimes we will be cleaning up with the child, of course, if the child doesn't know how to clean up. But we are accompanying them, so there will always be a consequence. Okay, we've dropped this. What do we need to do right now? Okay, let's go and get the dustpan and brush. Okay, so that, just want to sort of add that, because that idea of self-discipline is a really core element of the philosophy. And of course, within the environment, the children are using the wonderful materials, the Montessori materials in the classroom, to really learn about classification, to order, to create series, to understand difference and nuance, using their senses. So within the Montessori environment, there are lots of beautiful materials that are helping them to learn lots of different concepts. I just wanted to sort of add that aspect of the self-discipline and the autonomy area. It's an important one. So really, in terms of the 2 to 3.5 year old class, the children are really learning about living with others for the first time. So that's a really core part of it. And they're learning to do things for themselves, of course. And in terms of their capacity for concentration, their concentration is rather short at this age. And that's quite typical. Children are going through a sensitive period, often for gross motor skills. So movement is part of that toddler age. I'm sure you are all you're running around quite a lot, and it's quite physical looking after toddlers generally. But that's very typical for the age. And so as your child moves through the different age groups, they will be moving on to different sensitive periods for learning. They're in a sensitive period, or is also for language learning right now. And they're also developing their coordination. So this is why it's important to be outside, also go on walks outside, developing that coordination, exploring their environment around them, and looking around with joy. So, you know, when there's something like, you know, I know, Stutter, you took them out into the snow. Let's chance to, you know, to feel the snow and have the snow fall on your skin is an amazing, magical moment. And so for you also as parents, I really encourage you to look at the world in awe, because if you do, your toddler and your young child will also look at the world in awe. And, you know, in the morning, sometimes I look up and I see this beautiful, you know, we've had beautiful sunrises next to school. And I'm saying, look at this sunrise, everybody. And that, oh yes, we hadn't seen. And, you know, if we transmit that joy of learning, but also this wonder of the beauty of the world around us, I think it really is something that we really give as a gift to our children. So don't forget, in those crazy moments when you're running around and helping your children, looking after them, and when they're ill and all the things you have to do as a parent, because it's very busy, try to take some moments just to sort of try and look in awe, if you can, at the moments that you're going through, and or the nature around you, or at a flower, or at a stone. And you can just see the joy in a young child when they pick up a small pebble and they're just looking at it, or a small daisy, and they're in wonder at that moment. So try and live through the eyes of your child sometimes, whenever you can, because it is an amazing moment of their lives, and it goes so fast. Did you have any questions or any thoughts about that?
No real questions, but it's very inspiring. Thank you for the reminder to let them be little and look at the daisies.
Right, that's it. It's so, this moment goes so fast.
And yeah, it really does.
When we forget, because it's such a busy time being a parent of a young child.
It is, that's for okay. Sure.
So just give yourself the acknowledgement that it's okay to take a pause and take a moment for yourself and try and take three big breaths. Okay. The longer the breaths, the better, because that helps you to pause in that moment when it's a little bit crazy.
Yes. But no, it's a, I mean, the good is always outbalancing the more challenging.
Of course, absolutely. So yes, just try and remind yourself in those most challenging moments that there are always good, and maybe you'll keep a diary of this time or some way to sort of, you know, your photos to remind yourself of all of those beautiful moments that you have as well.
Yeah, but I love the just breathing in and looking at the small things in nature, and yeah, doing that more often.
Great. I like it. Great. Rekha, did you want to add anything?
No, it's I share the same ideas. So yes, it's very important to to stop and be part of their lives, and to take the time for these small things, mm-hmm. because we forget often.
Yeah, looking like, through their eyes, yeah, we can learn also.
It's true. Yes, we are learning also with them.
Fantastic. Exactly. Yeah. Every day is a new day of learning for you as parents, mm-hmm. and your child. When you see your child grow, you'll be like, "Oh my goodness, there!" You know, it is. It's so true. It's so true. So enjoy those moments when you see the joy in their eyes over a tiny pebble or a flower, and it's amazing.
Yes, it's true.
So just to sort of thumb up, really, in terms of the toddler community, some of the things that the objectives that we set, because we obviously do have some objectives that are set in the toddler community, and you know, your child, as I mentioned, is developing their gross motor skills, they're learning balance, they're moving around the environment, so they're learning about this ability to move within the spaces, learning to live with others, they're exploring language, they're learning their hand-eye coordination through all these beautiful transferring activities and sensorial activities that Stutti set up in the classroom. They're learning concentration, so still short, but it's really starting to develop more and more. Your child's concentration skills will continually grow with time. And they're developing their perception of the world around them, and they're enriching that with all of the different experiences, be it through songs and stories or tactile objects they get to touch or explore. I know that Stutti, you did a lot of experiences with vegetables and potatoes and all sorts of different things. We're doing a theme on food this year. Anything else that you want to add? And then we talk about stereognostic activities, which are actually, we have a three-dimensional ability to discern objects. Even if we have our eyes shut, we can touch an object and actually start to learn about its form and shape. Stutti, did you want to add anything else?
No, it's cool. We are doing the same thing what you're saying, and you know, each step is magical for the child. The moment they are on that discovery, it feels great. And of course, each child is at a different level, so you know, the lessons are adapted. And yes, food will be coming soon. After animals, we have transport and then food, and they'll be really excited. Food is something that fascinates, I think, the toddlers the most, and just waiting for them to get ready to be able to do it independently and feel great while doing it and not struggle while doing that. So yes, we did make pizza for Christmas, which was something they all enjoyed a lot, right from cutting pizza to choosing toppings on it, and is it ready, can I have my pizza now, and is it smelling nice. So yes, it was fascinating for them to go through that step, and I can't wait for them to start with the food team. Yes.
Okay. Thanks. It's great. Yes, definitely. We're sort of on that path to developing that autonomy. Absolutely. And so the way we do that, you know, we have children of different ages, and we have that freedom of activity, and that they also have each version of the material is as a single version of that material. Now, that's the same in 3 to 6 as well as in 2 to 3. So there's not 5 versions of the same material. The child has to Why do we do this? The child has to learn to wait as well. This ability to wait for to use the material is really important in that learning of self-discipline as well, and patience. So the whole idea of the Montessori classroom is that the work really is about thinking how to prepare that learning environment. So it's what we call a prepared environment for each of our Montessori classrooms. And then the child has a certain amount of time to learn and develop those skills in the classroom without being interrupted with a school bell or the, you know, let's go to the toilet. Everyone has to go to the toilet now. You know, so in a traditional classroom, there will be a time for going to the toilet and everyone has to go at the same time. So in Montessori, this is really not part of what we do. Is we really, I encourage the child to listen to their own body rather than a timer or a bell. So that's also a key component. Although having said that, if we're about to go outside, we will say, let's go to the toilet now if we're going off to another activity that might not have a toilet nearby. So, and then the child is also guided by what we call these sensitive periods for learning. So this idea where we're actually following the child's readiness for learning in different areas of their development. And so all of these things keep going, keep developing. Did you want to add something, Daphne, or a question?
I actually had a question because we were talking about the work environment, and actually wondered, is there a specific program for the 3 to 4 year olds, or do all the 3 to 6 follow the same program altogether?
That's a really good question. Actually, it's a 3-year program. So it's not a 1-year program like in France, which is
section,
and then moyenne section, and then grande section. It's actually a 3-year program. So if you enter Montessori, it's really that 3-year duration is important, because we don't have a curriculum that says all the children must learn to do this aged 3. It doesn't work like that.
No,
working in different areas. So it is a 3-year curriculum. That means that you need that time in order to touch upon all of the different materials in the classroom. At the end of the year 1 in 3 to 6 is a report that is specifically oriented towards children who have gone through their first year of 3 to 6. And it's not about what they know, more about how they are adapting to the environment. Skills related to autonomy, independence. Are they able to take off their coat in the morning on their own and put their slippers on? So it's going to be more basic how they're getting on with that initial transition, really. And they know this, they know that. They've learned how to squeeze the sponge, or they've learned how to use the this particular material, because we're interested in the skill base of the child, not this material was used once. Because we don't know anything about the child's capability if we said, oh, well, the child used the binomial cube once. So we know the material, but it's not going to tell you anything about that child's ability
My question was also related to how do the different age groups work together? How does it work?
Absolutely. Well, it just says here on the slide, so les plus petits apprennent beaucoup en observant les plus grands. And I think this is really, really sort of telling, is what we see in the 3 to 6 class is that the youngest really do learn through observation of the older children in the classroom.
Oh, right. Yeah.
At the moment, what we see is I've got quite a lot of children. I've been doing some phonics lessons. We use something called the sandpaper letters, where we're learning the sounds of the letters. So we don't learn the name of the letter. It's very important you know this. We don't learn the letter A, B, C, D, and we don't sing the song A, B, C, D either.
Okay.
A bit of a warning on you now is please don't start singing the A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Okay.
We'll start.
I might have already started, but that will
start to create a lot of confusion down the Montessori road if you're doing that. So we really request, please don't sing the A, B, C song.
Okay.
Just don't sing it, please.
Okay, I won't.
For others not to. Because why? And the reason for that is that we are working on with the sounds of letters, not the names of letters. And the reason for this is as we are addressing the whole literacy and reading aspects of learning in the nursery classroom, we will be introducing the grapheme, which is the shape of the letter. So for example, the letter C is k, 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 like cat. It's not the letter C cat. We say like cat, k, like candle, like snake, not S snake. Like snake. It's the very first sound. So it's a, b, k, d, e, g.
Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. Okay.
Okay. So the reason for that is that means that the ability to start to learn those sounds of letters means that the child's ability to then associate those graphemes, those letter symbols with the sound, means that when they start to look at blending letters to create a word in order to read it, then they are already have those tools to do that. So when we have those, we've learned the k and the a and the t. So we can say k. If I was spelling that and I had learnt my names of the letters, I would be, that's the letter C, that's the letter A, and that's the letter T. C A T, C A T, C A T, C A T. I don't know what that makes.
Yeah. Okay.
And what we're doing is we're just adding another layer of confusion, because the child now has to learn the sound of the letter, but they've just learned the name of the letter, and now we're all confused. So we really encourage that, to avoid that. We encourage, please, if you are talking about the name, I spy with my little eye, something beginning with the letter, choose the sound of the letter, not the name.
Okay.
You're in the car on a long journey, I spy with my little eye, something beginning with the letter. It's a road. It's not the letter. Yeah. So this is the subtle difference in Montessori. And in the 3 to 6 class, your child will be learning phonics. And then later on, we will be learning the names of letters. Doesn't mean we won't learn the name of the letter. Later on, once we've associated the letter shape with the sound, and we're starting to read and it's becoming more fluent, then eventually we say, and this letter actually has a name. We call it the letter C.
Okay.
The letter D. And so up until then, it's just been D, D, O, G, because it's the sound of the letter. And we do present it as that, as we're learning the sounds of the letters.
Okay.
So what I will often have is I will have a child in their first year standing next to me as I'm giving a lesson to a child who's in their second or third year. So, for example, the first years will be there saying, that's interesting. Look at that, learning their letters. And it's really fascinating to see those mirror neurons. We now know we have mirror neurons in our brain. That means that we want to do the same things that we see around us. So when an older child is learning to read or starting to read, and we have these, often we're matching the word with a picture or an object, or an actual object. So children will have an object box, and we're actually matching our little tickets with the words written on. So for example, we might have an object box with a rug in it, a little miniature rug, and the child will have to be reading rug, and they're going to try and match that label with the rug, and there'll be other objects in the box. And a little child will be standing there first year, maybe looking, thinking, this looks great, I want to do this. And so I will have children come up and say, well, look, when can I do this? And I'm going to be able to show you that soon. And we will play early phonics games with children in their first year as well. So as they're moving through their first year, we'll be spending some time playing little I Spy Little games to try and learn the first sounds of words as well.
Okay.
So that's really
good. Do you do that in French and in English?
So we do it. The I Spy with games we do in French and English, but in terms of, it's a really good question, actually. If we've got a child who's bilingual, fully bilingual, speaking very strong English and very strong French, we talk with the parents to decide what is going to be the target language for reading.
Okay.
The child is more francophone, then of course the first reading language will be French. And if the child is more Anglo-Saxon, they'll be our first language, reading language will be English.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Okay.
So we try and target the easier language, because that will be much better for them in terms of really their reading language should be their first language. And we really don't want to try and confuse the child's phonics by introducing two languages simultaneously.
Of course, yeah.
For the naming of the sounds of the letters. So we may play I Spy games, which is fine with an object, but when we're actually showing the sandpaper letters, we're really trying to target the sound in that language. So, and only once they're confident and competent in that first target language, in that reading language, will we introduce the second reading language.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of research now on phonics confusion. I know that some Montessori schools introduce both simultaneously, but we don't. It's we find that that creates too much phonic confusion. In terms of the materials in the 3 to 6 class, so the materials now start to extend from 2 to 3. There are more areas of the classroom in the children's house 3 to 6. So we have 5 core areas in the 3 to 6 classroom. We have the practical life activities, which start to get more complicated, and moving on from the 2 to 3.5, you have quite a lot of practical life materials as well. We also have the sensorial materials. Again, they start to get more complicated, and they're moving on from, you know, from having, you know, three knob cylinders to having 10, and they're different shapes and size. We're really learning about sequencing and ordering and classification. So in our sensorial, we're learning through all our senses. So learning through our senses is a core part of Montessori. So we're learning through our eyesight, through our touch, through our smell, through listening, and through what we hear as well. So all of the sensorial material is about really developing that discernment of our senses for the environments around us, and learning about the objects within that. So there'll be little, for example, in 3 to 6, there's these sound boxes. We shake the sounds and we have to try and match the same sounds together. There'll be color boxes where we're trying to match actually quite complex colors together. And there'll be geometry as well, where we're actually learning to match different shapes to create different geometric polygons and so on and so forth. So there'll be lots of material that sort of extends what we've started learning about shapes in 2 to 3, and it starts to become much more complex. And then we have the knowledge and understanding of the world, so that we have some lots of sensorial maps of the world. The child is learning about the cultures of the world, but really learning about the, you know, planet Earth, and that we're part of and we have continents on our planet, and we have water, and we're going to be going to quite a lot of depth about geography, and eventually children can learn about countries within continents. But we start always in Montessori with the large aspect. So this is planet Earth. We have something called a sandpaper globe, where we just look at the globe and we see that it's got land and it's got water. And so that's it, land and water. We start off with that. And then we move down into the sort of the specific, and eventually learn about the country names. But we always start on the broad, which is, you know, which is very typical. And the same even with 6 to 12. Again, we start with the very broad stories about the planet, how our planet came into being. And then we talk about how the Earth cooled and how all of the volcanoes were on planet Earth. And then we just talk them through the development of what we call cosmic education, which is basically the world, how it came into being and everything we need to know around it, everything we've learned to date so far. And so in terms of the other aspects, we have, of course, the literacy and language area, which I touched upon in terms of reading, but also writing. So what we will be doing is that child will learn their letter sounds. But for example, if they're an English speaker, they may be learning their letter sounds in script, but then we will then change to cursive. But when they start to write, we'll be changing in towards the learning the cursive writing, so that they can carry that on through the learning through our different classroom programs. In the French readers, we'll actually learn their letter sounds in cursive, and they'll also then they'll learn to recognize script when they read a book. Or reads, so they'll actually get the transition in the opposite direction from script to from cursive to script. So we've done that way, because some children will come to us having had some learning in English speaking countries, while they will have only seen script, and vice versa. French children often will only see cursive when they start to read letter sounds. So and then they will have to transition to script to read, you know, read a book, which is often printed in script. And then the final area is the mathematics and numeracy area. So that area is contains all of the very famous golden beads material and lots of the counting materials, lots of very beautiful material for learning mathematics. And the child in the 3 to 6 class, you know, really can go as even up to fractions potentially. But, you know, we really follow the child's interest in all of these subjects areas. And Montessori, you know, it's not about learning all of the hundreds of different materials off by heart or anything like that. It's really about following their learning, so they're really getting as much as they can out of the different areas. So it might be in terms of, you know, in terms of some children just love the creative aspects of the classroom, and others children love the sensorial, and others children love geography. And it doesn't matter which way, we will be also encouraging them to touch upon all the areas. So another question I often get is, what if a child just wants to paint all day? And that's fine initially. Often a child doesn't want to just paint all day for a whole year, but we'll also be inviting them, encouraging them, come over here, I've got something else to show you. And just that skill as a Montessori teacher, to try and encourage a child to explore their learning environment, so they do get to touch upon all these different areas of the beautiful areas of the classroom is part of what we do as well. And so the child is going through what we call the absorbent mind period of their life. So they're absorbing everything. All of their learning is providing a basis for all of their future learning. And this is absorbent mind area where the child is starting to become conscious of themselves, and we want to encourage them to try and think about what their needs are and what they're wanting to learn. Any questions?
No, that sounds sounds great. That's I want to come.
Well, I think certainly I get a lot of parents say, if I had had learning in a Montessori environment, I think I would have enjoyed learning a lot more.
It sounds amazing. It really
you think
does.
About being able to follow the child's rhythm and what their interests are. You know, if you think someone just followed your interests and the rhythm you want to learn at, well, that's really ultimate, isn't it?
Yeah, no, definitely.
So really, yes. And then the basis of Montessori is around providing this foundation for learning for the future, without worrying about error. So I just want to just add very quickly, you know, when a child is learning to write in a Montessori classroom, they're going to be writing, for example, with something like a movable alphabet. And there's this famous photo of this child writing genius at work. But the way genius is spelt is not the way you and I will spell genius. And this is really important. We're not worried about spelling correctly aged 4 or 5 or 6 when they start to want to write words using the large movable alphabet. We're just interested in the child's wanting to learn. So as the child gets used to using writing materials, for example, we're not going to judge them if they start to write the word, you know, I don't know, sun, S-A-N. You know, we're not going to, oh, that's not sun, that's san. You haven't written that right. We won't do that because we are going to hinder the child's love of learning. We're just going to say, well, that's wrong, I'm right, you know, and the child will actually be potentially be blocked by adults, or, you know, even if you want the best for them, by those sorts of comments of that's not right, then, you know, do it this way. So we want to just allow the child to start to explore the materials. And as they develop their skills, and especially as they get older, move through the classes, they start to learn, they start to read more, they start to see spelling, they start to get used to the way things are spelled. So, you know, this is a really important part of Montessori, is this idea of allow the error and see if the child sees their error. If they don't see it, they haven't yet got to that point of seeing their error, that's okay. We will observe that as teachers. We'll note it down and say, oh, I need to do another lesson on the sound with the child, but I'll do it tomorrow. You don't do it there and then. We wait until there's a good time to do that. And in terms of the child's maturity as they get older, it's really important. Yeah, we realize that they're going to mature and they're going to start to see nuance and difference as they get older. So if a child can't do something, they're just not ready for it. Or we may have introduced something too early for them, for example. Anything to add, Stuti, on this? Okay, I'll keep going. Okay.
Sorry, my screen was muted. I would just like to add that although maybe a child is just interested in one domain, let's say painting or something, but you know, the environment around the child is very dynamic. There is one child who's learning geography and probably sitting with the globe and trying to explore. There's another child making a map of the world. There's a third child grinding coffee and trying to, make a powder out of it. And so you have to understand that the child experiences, even though it is, you know, in one domain, which is he's doing, but his environment is very rich. It's multisensory. And while he's just, but you know, it appears that it might be interested in painting or the tree. He's listening to all the sounds, what the teacher is talking about, what the other children are discussing, maybe another project. And, you know, all these help develop, discern his capacity to make choices and to learn through various mediums. So the mediums might change, but the environment remains very dynamic and very enriching for the child. And the great part is that all the material which you see in the 3 to 6 classroom is all on open shelves and in open boxes. The child is free to, you know, just have a look at the box, what is there in that box, see if that material you know, excites them, or you know, they are really motivated or fascinated to try to do it with an elder child or with a teacher. So I think if you look at the whole context of how it actually dynamically works in the classroom of 3 to 6, you will see that there are many mediums of the child for the child to learn and explore from.
Yeah, thank you, Stuti. Absolutely. So yes, this idea of of actually the child is acting upon their environment. A child also in a 3 to 6 class is free to just observe. So they can take material and use it and take it to a table and work on it and then put it back. But they are also free to learn through observation of others. So it's very important that that's also integrated into a typical, into our classrooms, into Montessori classroom. Whereas in a traditional classroom, the child doesn't have that luxury of just observing. They're often made to sit and do something. And so that's also often not seen as learning. But actually, if we ourselves are just to take time to reflect or to observe others, it's that those are very profound and very wonderful learning opportunities for us as well, and for the child particularly so. So just by giving them the gift of not having to rush them into something and always got to be doing, just stopping and being is a really amazing gift for your child. So children are in 3 to 6 and 2 to 3 are free to observe and watch what others are doing. And that's still learning. And I had one child, I think for the first 2 months they were in the 3 to 6 classroom, they actually just sat at a table in the morning for the first hour. Didn't do anything, just looked around, happy as Larry, very happy. And that's fine to do that.
That's true.
So in terms of the material, again, we've got the next level, I suppose, the material moves on from the 2 to 3.5 classroom into slightly more complex material, and it starts to get more difficult and more challenging. We have, again, this mixed age group, which is so important for the learning, between our, you know, not just our peers, but older children. We're learning from older children. And then as the older children move towards through the system, they can actually show the materials even to the younger children. And why is that useful? Is it basically that creates this amazing self-confidence as well. And when I have a sense of mastery and I can show someone else how to use something, then I know I've really learned it. And so that's really part of the Montessori method, is we're building that self-esteem for the older child who's showing younger child how to do something. And the teachers in the classroom, we have one French speaker Montessori teacher, one English speaking Montessori teacher. The idea of the children are actually hearing both languages simultaneously around them. So they're really getting used to that opportunity to switch between two languages. And they can speak either in French or in English. There's no forcing of making children speak in either language. They choose the one they're most comfortable with. And that we're available for them to help them if they need help. And in terms of the freedom within the classroom, they can also choose to work with other children. So they sometimes often work on their own, but they could also choose to work as a pair with another child on a rug, or for example, to work on some materials that can be used by two people. And typically there are it's 2.5 to 3 hours of work. It's around 2.5 hours in our classroom of work in work periods that they have. So it's not an interrupted work period. They have a really long session where they can actually explore the different materials. So then just very quickly, just moving on, you know, once the child has moved through the 3 to 6 classrooms, they're being prepared for this elementary classroom, which is much more, I think I mentioned, the cosmic education, which is really all about learning about all of the world around them. And really, it's the age of questioning. So the elementary classroom is really much about the children starting to ask lots of questions and finding out where they can get their answers, their questions. So rather than the teacher giving you all the answers, we will typically in Montessori send the child off to do some research. So you have a question. Why is the sky blue? I don't know. Why do you think the sky is blue? That's a typical answer of a Montessori teacher. And we'll go and where could we find that out? Well, where would we need to go? Whereas again, traditional classroom, the teacher will know everything. I'll tell you the answer to that. We actually want to really invite children to become responsible for their learning. And so that really involves them thinking about how can they find answers to all their questions. So I just wanted to just touch upon that, because that's sort of the final part of the presentation. Is that beyond the 3 to 6 classes, the 6 to 12 class, which again is another whole new area. But of course, at that point, you'll know your child better as to what sort of learning environment might suit them. And 6 to 12 isn't suited to every child. You know, sometimes some children benefit from a more traditional type of education where the work is all the same in the classroom. Whereas the Montessori classroom, again, the children will be working on many different projects and activities, and children won't all be doing the same work. So it does depend, the elementary classroom, it does depend on the child's whether suitability for that, and it's not for everyone, and I understand that. So, you know, at that stage, you can ask me again for more information about the elementary classroom. Any final questions?
No, thank you. This was very, very interesting.
Great.
Thank you. It was very, very useful for us also to listen.
Good, good. Well, I'm glad you, well, thank you so much for being part of this evening's presentation. I've recorded it, so I will share this with other parents.
Great.
Thank you.
That's okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And I will, you know, if you've got any questions, we're always available to help you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much. Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.